as was stated, the morning lesson is going to be taken from St. John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. I trust you have your Bibles with you, and you will just follow as I read. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and say unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him, and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I say unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Last verse. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Hearing the reading of the words of the Lord, I trust that your heart have been blessed. Father, we just bless your holy name right now. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have spoken to us. You have spoken to us through your words, through your written word. And Father, we pray that the anointing will also bring your inspired word as we share your thoughts to your people. And we pray that all of us hearts will be blessed. We look forward to the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit and this ministry, this word, this sermon. We wait upon you now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to share a thought with us this morning, speaking for a few minutes. The critics meet the Christ. Topic, the critics meet the Christ. And as you have heard, we are going to look on this passage here from St. John chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. The church has come under criticism over many years. And I'm not just speaking now about the Apostolic Church in America. I'm talking about the church in general, worldwide. The church has come under tremendous criticism from people all over the world at different points in time. And some of those criticisms might be justified, and some certainly are not necessary. But we will remind ourselves that this was prophesied by Isaiah long ago. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, where Isaiah spoke and he said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Speaking about the Lord Jesus. And the fact that the Lord Jesus is connected to the church. And there are those who despise the Lord. The church, the body of Christ, bears the brunt of that criticism. But at the same time, the believers in Christ will have to be steadfast in our conviction so that we are not thrown off by any form of criticism. We instead decide to serve God with a straight face, realizing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Here is God's servant, Philip, with all the excitement of meeting Jesus and realizing what is in Jesus, realizing the fact that he has come in contact with the person that he has been looking for over many years. The person he read about, the person in which they have discussion about. He has now come in contact with him. And as a result of that meeting, excitement fill his heart. Excitement fill his mind. He has been elevated to another level in his spiritual feeling as a result of coming in contact with Jesus. And he rushes out to find his friend, Nathanael, to share with him the excitement and the discovery that he now have in Jesus. And that meeting, that expression that he delivered to Nathanael was met with disappointment. I don't know if from time to time, as you witness, you have this type of experience where the person you witness to slam your thoughts, cramp your style, throw you off balance because their views are totally opposite of yours. Their views for the church are totally opposite of yours. I encourage you, my brother. I encourage you, my sister. Be steadfast in your conviction and continue to witness. I'm so glad that today is considered Men's Sunday in the Apostolic Church in America. And a very, very, very pleasant good morning to all our men that are here with us today. We bless God for our sisters, but we are so glad to have our men folks with us today. And we're all involved in this challenge, the challenge of witnessing, and we will come across the opposition of men from time to time. But I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, remain steadfast in Jesus. Philip find that Nathanael said unto him, we have found him. And I want you to listen to that expression. We have found him. Not just Philip. There are others too who have found him. And Philip went on to say, Jesus of Nazareth. Then here comes Nathanael. Nathanael questioned, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? What an answer for a man that was buzzing with excitement. For a man who was convinced that he has been in touch with the Messiah, the long-awaited person. He is now in touch with him. He is here in all earnest. And he was, his excitement was crushed by a critic who feel that the fact that you have mentioned the Savior with Nazareth does not carry water for him. Because in his opinion, Nazareth was not a good place. And nothing good could come out of there. But I bless the Lord for the Spirit of the Lord that was upon God's servant. And instead of arguing with him, he simply asked him to come and see. The critics meeting the Savior. We are told here that as Nathanael approaches Jesus, that something happens. Jesus saw him coming as far as verse 47 is concerned. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Two thoughts here that we are going to briefly look on based on what Jesus said to Nathanael. This is to be found in verse 47, as we have just read. And then the other one will be in verse 51. Jesus said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. The critics meeting the Savior. And this is why we are having meetings from time to time. This is why we are ministering the word of the Lord. This is why from time to time you would hear the scripture read in these services. And the whole aim is for you to hear the word of God. And what we have seen here in this encounter as the critics meet the Savior, we have seen where the content of the heart of man is revealed. The content of the heart of man is laid bare open before God. Jesus saw him and said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, no deceit, no hypocrisy. And yet, Nathanael, when he left from underneath the fig tree, he was curious as to whether or not there could be any good thing come out of Nazareth. His thought then was genuine. But upon hearing the word of God, upon hearing the voice of God, hallelujah, the content of his heart was revealed. And I'm saying to the church this morning that the aim of Jesus, the aim of Jesus is to reach the heart of men and change their heart of man. Until one's heart comes face to face with the penetrating eye and words of Jesus, there will not be any change. The stubborn will of opposition will continue to rule that heart. One will have to come in contact with the man called Jesus and listen to his word, and the intent of the heart will respond to that word. So Nathaniel had to ask a question. From whence do you know me? I want to say to the church this morning, and all of us, every one of us hearts are naked and open before our Lord Jesus. Every one of us, the content of each of us heart are open before him. In fact, the word tells us, you can remember, that all our conversations are in heaven. Every word we utter, they are in heaven. I love to use this thought. I pick it up from, I was working with a telephone company in Jamaica. That every one of the telephone calls that any individual would make, whether it is here in America or in Jamaica, every single call has to first go to the exchange, the telephone company exchange, regardless of how far that exchange is, regardless of how far that network is that they have designed. Even if the person is in the next room to you that you're calling, if the exchange is 10 miles away, your call first goes into that exchange and is recorded before it can come to the person in the room beside you. That is how the whole thing is designed. So that if 10 years down the line, it is necessary to record or recall that telephone call that you have made, it is in the exchange and one can always get it for evidence. That call was made on this day, at this hour, and so forth, and the contents of the call. So I am saying to all of us here, all of us conversations first goes to heaven and then to the individual beside us. And so everything that we say as critics, it first goes to the headquarter. It is recorded in heaven, as the word tells us. And so when Nathaniel asked the question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That was recorded. And when Jesus saw him coming, and Jesus declared, here is an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathaniel asked, when did you saw me? How did you know me? Jesus said, I saw you from before Philip speak to you underneath that fig tree. So I'm saying to all of us this morning, if we are critics of Jesus, when we meet Jesus, the full contents of our heart are going to be revealed. And we will see ourselves that we are limited in our thinking pattern, and Jesus' intention is to change a heart that is in opposition to him and his word. Nathaniel, having heard the content of his heart revealed, questioned, how did you know me? When did you saw me? And Jesus rightfully reminded him, I saw you from when you were underneath that fig tree. And Nathaniel said unto him, in response, as he surrender his critic thought of him coming out of a place called Nazareth. He surrender his thought in verse 49 by saying, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. It's critics towards where Jesus came from. He has now decided that he is no longer going to entertain. Because Jesus is the person that he has been longing for. Jesus is the person he has been looking for. He has now found him. The content of his heart was now revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he has found the Savior. He has found the King. He has found the Son of God. Just as his friend Philip did. And I don't know how you came in contact with the Lord. I don't know whether you went to a church. I don't know whether it was because somebody witnessed to you. I don't know. Different ones of us meeting the Lord in different ways. But when we come to the Lord, when we eventually meet the Lord, the feeling of our heart is totally different. My brother, my sister, I want to tell you this morning that it is a wonderful thing to meet the Lord. There is a sense of newness. There is a sense of lightness. The load you have been carrying all along seem to disappear. There's a new perspective on life. There's a new feeling that is beautiful. The light of God has shone in our heart, and we have seen something new. That is a feeling that comes only from the encounter with the Lord. And that is what Nathanael experienced here. And so Philip was right. Come and see. The critics meet the Savior. Philip could have taken it another way. Philip could have gone down the road with Nathanael and start to quote the prophets and start to quote different things. This determined that what I experienced in my meeting with him, I want you to have the same experience. So what I am going to do is ask you to come and see for yourself. And this is why we invite people to church. We invite people to church for them to come and hear the word of God themselves. We invite people to come and listen to the worship, listen to the praise, listen to the testimonies, listen to the reading of God's word, listen to the ministry of God's word. And in that case, one should come. Yes, you might be a critic, and that's all right. But we are glad that we have the Christ. We are glad that we have the Savior who will speak to your heart if you come to him in an open sense. Not expecting to hear anything negative from him, but something positive. And Jesus always lives up to that expectation. He lives up to the expectation right here with Nathanael as he revealed the content of Nathanael's heart. Bless the Lord. The second thing that we see here, as we may mention, is in verse 51. As Jesus continued to minister to Nathanael, Jesus closed off it by saying to him, "And he," Jesus, "said unto him," Nathanael, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Jesus made mention of this deliberately to Nathanael. Because when Nathanael asked the question, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Jesus wants him to know who it is that came out of Nazareth. And therefore Jesus picked up something all the way in Genesis and brought it to the discussion. And Nathanael would be familiar with this passage of scripture in Genesis, as it records Jacob's dream in Genesis. You remember in Genesis, Jacob had a dream where he saw a ladder stretched from earth to heaven. And the angel of the Lord was ascending and descending upon that ladder. Jesus brought back this in the discussion to Nathanael to point out one important fact to him. And that is the ladder that Jacob saw. You are looking at him. He is referring to himself as that ladder that Jacob saw that stretches from earth to heaven. And he was making it clear to Nathanael that you are looking at Jacob's ladder. I am the mediator between God and man. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, the man from out of Nazareth. I am the link between earth and heaven. I am the one through whom every individual, regardless of who they are, must reach the Father. Not only that, I know the content of your heart, but I am also telling you that I am the one to which you can reach the Father. There are many in this country and out of this country who don't seem to be all that interested in the church. People in high status of society. I heard somebody who you and I well know said there must be more than one way to the Father. It cannot be by Jesus alone. But I want to tell you, if any man, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." And it does not matter who you are, where you are, what your status is in society, you and I have to come through Jesus. He is the ladder between earth and heaven. He is the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. If Oprah Winfrey wanted to be saved, she had to go through Jesus. If Biden wants to be saved, he has to go through Jesus. If Trump wants to be saved, he has to go through Jesus. If Obama wants to be saved, he has to go through Jesus. Regardless of what the names are in the world, they have to go through this ladder. This is the ladder on which we step up into heaven. And he has the ability to deal with the heart, to deal with the content of the heart, and reveal it. When the critic meets the Savior, there is a change. And I'm so glad here this morning, I must tell you, that we have such a Savior. And we are identifying ourselves with Him. And not only that, we are identifying ourselves with Him. He also is identifying Himself with us. Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is character is being challenged. His character here is being challenged. But when the critics saw him and heard him, the whole thing changes. Because the content of the critic's heart was revealed. I'd like to take you also to another passage of scripture that I consider parallel to this. And that is to be found in St. John chapter 4. And I'm going to read not straight verses, but different verses as it relates to the message. So St. John chapter 4 verse 9 reads, "Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan." You remember what John 4 tells us, that Jesus went through Samaria. In fact, the word tells us that he must needs go through Samaria. And as he went through, he stopped at this well, being thirsty, and this woman cometh to draw water. And Jesus asked for a drink. Now, she was surprised as she identified him as a Jew. And she is a Samaritan. Gentiles mixed with Jew, considered a Samaritan. And she declared right up front, she said, "How are you, being that you asking me for a drink of water?" We have seen the even in religious circle, the critics, this group does not seem to embrace the next group. This church does not seem to embrace the next church. The critics continue to manifest itself in different forms. Because here is a discussion on religion, on the part of religion. And if you follow the entire thing here, you're going to discover that even location, the place to worship, comes into play between Jesus and this woman. Because she claims that where she's at is where one should worship. Jesus mentioned that Jerusalem is the place to worship. And so there was a discussion in terms of opposition there. But we want to follow what she is saying to Jesus. First, in verse 9, "Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou being a Jew ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." Listen to what verse 16 and 18 have to say to us. Then 16, "Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou art 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. that saidest thou truly. Let me read this verse again. Verse 18. For thou hast five husbands, and he who now is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. In other words, the lady said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yes, you have five husbands, and the one you have is not yours. Now, I want to say to all of us, sisters, if you have your husband and you see this woman coming, hide him. Hide him. Because Jesus revealed the content of her heart, which was rather surprising to her. She had five of them, and she said she didn't have any. And Jesus declared, the one you're living with is not yours. The content of her heart was revealed because she met Jesus. She met the critics, met the Savior. And there is a revelation. Because she has never seen him before. And to know that her deeds, her past deeds, are now open and naked before Jesus surprises her. And I'm saying to all of us who are here, that there is nothing that we do, there's nothing that we say that is not open before Jesus. We cannot hide from him. Jesus knows who belongs to him, and Jesus knows who does not belong to him this morning. I'm glad to know that we are involved in this church. From time to time, we are here on Tuesday night, and we are here on Sunday morning, and I commend the brethren for being so steadfast. But I'm saying to all of us here, let us maintain our cleanness before God. Let us maintain our true relationship before God, because nothing is hidden from our wise and knowledgeable God. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, no, you have five. And the one you have right now is not yours. Well, verse 25 tells us, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Listen to what verse 26 said. Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus declares himself to this woman as the Messiah, the one who reveals secrets, the one who changes heart, the one who saves life. Jesus declared to her right there that I am he. Right in this meeting today, as we are here, right in this meeting, we need to be conscious that Jesus is present. And Jesus is seeing you. And Jesus is seeing me. We are in his presence. And every deed is naked. Every misstep is naked. Everything is naked before him. And he declares himself, which is something Jesus don't normally do publicly or openly. Jesus told the woman that I that speaketh unto thee am He. So we want to follow this. Verse 28 to 30. Listen to the response. Listen to the response of the woman as we read 28 to 30. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men. I'd like to just stop there for a second to say the women, our sisters, women generally know where to find the men. Know where men are not. That's why if you look inside the churches, you will find a lot more women any given time than men. Because women love Jesus. Women love Jesus overwhelmingly. And women will always find and invite men to come to Jesus. 28 said, the woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said unto the men, she knew where they were hanging out. Come see a man, verse 29, which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The content of her heart was revealed. And on top of that, Jesus declared that he was the Christ. And she, with all the conviction, went into the city and told the men that she had seen the Christ. Come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. Come and see who I'm talking about. Come and behold the man who gave me the experience that I had prior to me coming to you, Nathanael, that caused me to be so excited. Come and see. The woman is saying to the men of the city, come and see. Is not this the Christ? Jesus wants us to see him. And I might as well read verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Her witnessing had paid off. Because she was able not only to talk to the men in the city, but they came out to see Jesus. The content of her heart was revealed. And she wants somebody else to share in this experience. And so they came out to see Jesus. And what a meeting that was. Look at verse 39 to 41 to 42 of St. John chapter 4. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me ever all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Listen to the last verse carefully. Verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. These are the men that came out of the city. Not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. Make a note on that. We have heard him ourselves. and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Son, the Savior of the world. Listen to that last verse. We have heard him ourselves. We have heard him speak. We have heard the words that came out of his mouth. The words that penetrate the heart. The words that brings us face to face with our own reality. First, we were critics of him. But now, having heard him, our heart has been changed. And we believe in him. We are sure that this is the Messiah. We are sure that this is the Savior. Because what? We have heard him ourselves. So it is good to witness as Philip did to Nathanael. It is good to witness as this woman did to the men of the city. But when we heard him ourselves, it makes all the difference in the world. Because Jesus changes lives. The content of one's heart is revealed. Hallelujah. And there is a commitment to him based on what he has said. Today, if you would hear his voice, I encourage you not to harden your heart. Jesus is still speaking. He's speaking today to worship. As we meet here in this service, he's speaking to our heart to worship. He's speaking to our heart to the reading of his word. He's speaking to our heart to the ministering of his word. He's speaking to somebody with the intention that the content of your heart and mind will be revealed, and all the opposition that we have mustered in regards to him and the church will be dismissed. And Jesus will be seen as the ladder, the mediator between God and man. And anyone who would like to go to God must go through Jesus. For I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I remember the songwriter said his voice makes a difference. When he speaks, he relieves my troubled heart. He's the only voice I know that makes a difference. And I follow one day at a time. I don't know if you're here this morning. I don't know if you're here today with us. And you have been contemplating as to whether or not you should follow him. You should listen to him. I don't know if your heart has ever been touched by him. I trust today that this is the day when your heart is being touched by the word of God. He's still the same Savior. The one who met Philip. The one who met the woman at the well. He's still the same Savior. He saves Philip. He saves Nathanael. He saves the woman at the well. He saves the men that came out of the city. He saved countless more. He saved you here, my brother, and he saved me. He can save anyone else. He's the same Jesus. I heard somebody say, he saves, he keeps, and he satisfies. Same Jesus. And I recommend him to all of us this morning, today. We are looking forward to this year having more men involved in our services. We are looking that the Lord will make this move, because it is the Lord that reveals the contents of men's heart and creates a change. So we are waiting on the Lord that he will move upon the hearts of men. And I'm sure that this year, today being the first men's Sunday for the year, we are trusting God that more men are going to come to the Lord, and we will have them to be part of our worship and praise as we go forward. Our sisters are going to help us here. The lady went into the city, said unto the men, and it is quite deliberate on the part of the Holy Ghost to point out who she went to, not just throwing words in the air, but the Holy Spirit informed us that she went specifically to the men. And said, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Philip said to Nathanael, come and see. And both critics here, who were in opposition to the ministry and to Jesus, eventually found the Master, worship him and serve him. I trust that the Lord has blessed your heart, and there is something that the God has revealed to you that worthwhile pondering over, that will lead you eventually to surrender your heart to him. Because he has not changed. He's still reading people's heart and still reading people's mind. The Lord bless you as you ponder over his word. Father, we bless your holy name. And we thank you. Thank you that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we look forward, Lord God, that you will continue to reveal yourself to us. And to reveal our hearts, to make us aware of who we are, our relationship with you, whether or not those relationships are intact. We pray, Father, that you, Lord, will be glorified from the fact that we have surrendered ourselves to you and give you ourselves in a new way so that you can use us to bring honor and glory to yourself. Father, we believe that there are many men who are seeking you. We pray, Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you will touch the heart of these men and you will cause them to see you high and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. Yes, Lord, we are grateful for the fact that you are still saving people, not only in this church, but there are many other churches right across the length and breadth of this country and the world in general. You are still in the saving business. And Lord God, we are looking forward to our fair share here in this service, in this church, that you will move on the heart of individuals and we will see them come to know you, who is our Lord and our Savior. Help us to tell them, Lord, to come to you. Help us to be convincing in our witnessing. Help us to be sure of the fact that when we invite them, we know that you are here to receive them. Lord God, as we wait, as we give you praise, and as we give you glory, continue to shine your light in our hearts so that we can see ourselves. We continue to worship you now and give you praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. and Amen. Bless